Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
My God!
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's going on, everybody? Happy belated Valentine's Day as you're hearing this. I am recording this on Valentine's Day. It is Wednesday, February 15th, 2017, a episode 7 of Destruction 101. I am your host, Dave Destruction Sturcio, bringing you another jam-packed episode. A lot of stuff to talk about, but first and foremost, for those of you who don't know, and obviously none of you do unless you're family, today, as you're listening to this, February 15th, is my Grandma Rose's birthday. She passed away in 2012 when I started this journey of professional wrestling. She died a couple months before I started, and, you know, she was a fighter to the end. She was an amazing person, the most selfless person you'll ever meet in your life. She was a basketball player. She would shoot hoops until her dying days. No kidding aside. She would, if we were playing basketball in the backyard, she would just throw me the rock and watch what I do with it. And Grandma Rosie, rest in peace, and I love you to death. And this is why I do what I do, and I try to be as good as I possibly could be. Her last words to me were, "I love you." And that's, I'll never forget it. And for anybody who's followed me through my career, from the start, from Jump Street, you'll notice that on my, the MMA gloves that I wore, you know, you can make all the jokes you want about me wearing MMA gloves in professional wrestling, and that's okay. But, on one side was my best friend's initials, JD, and on my left, right arm. I don't remember exactly which arms, but on both my gloves, I had her initials stitched in as well. So it was always a constant reminder. And she actually helped me, not for nothing. She helped me get through a lot of training sessions when I first started. And it's funny because a lot of these guys are just starting off. A couple new trainees that are going literally in their first couple days, couple weeks. I remember those weeks. And I remember how hard it was. And I remember how sore I was, and I can't believe, you know, Pat's gonna make us do this and do these burpees and this mountain climbers and all sorts of cardio exercises. And I was dying. But there's windows. This might sound corny to some, but that's okay. There's windows that if you look up at the Rahway Rec Center, there's windows to the outside. And when I was hurt and I was defeated and I felt like I couldn't go on, I literally, all I would do was look up to the windows as if I was looking at my grandma, looking down on me as I'm trying to achieve this goal and live this dream, and hear her voice saying, "I love you." And I would just keep going and going and going. So a lot of my early career, I paid tribute to her. Everything I do that. So it's a special day to me. I'll probably, you know, as you're seeing this or hearing this for the first time, you'll probably see a lot of posts about her on all my social medias. She was the most beautiful woman in the world. She was one of my closest people to me, and I loved her to pieces. So rest in peace, Grammy, and hope I'm doing you proud down here. So episode 7, I'm just getting my voice back from this weekend. It was gone completely. Based on the results, which hopefully you saw or heard of most of them, I lost my shit on commentary. I was excited. I became like a fan as I was cheering for it. And the commentary will speak for itself once it's released. I think me and Eddie did a great job. I think me and Matt McIntosh did a great job. He jumped on with me in Brooklyn. That's kind of weird because the last two Brooklyn shows, he's jumped on commentary with me, which is kind of funny. It's like his stable. Yeah, so an amazing weekend. I'll get into that as we go along. But this is where it all like broke down for me. Like Saturday night, was it Saturday night or Friday night? I believe it was Saturday night. One of the nights, I got a text from Shining Wizards Tony, who is always the one to report the numbers to me because I'm neurotic like that and I need to know. And it was fine. Last week, like I said, episode 5 did like 7,000 downloads, and I am like in my glory at that. Hits, downloads, whatever you want to call it, it's drawing the eyes. I can't tell you that 7,000 people listen to my podcast. That seems a little far-fetched. Well, if that seems far-fetched, then how would you like 33,000 plus downloads, hits, all sorts of whatever? I mean, it's incredible. I didn't expect it to get like that. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect it to get like that. That's insane. So like I said, do I think 33,000 plus people are downloading my podcast? No. I think that there's a strong percentage of that, yes. And then there's every time you replay it, every time you, if you get cut off once and then you try to just listen to it again, it might count as two. I don't know. I don't work for the schematics company that puts all this shit together, but I must contribute this. You know, I've been on the Shining Wizards Network since Jump Street, since episode one. I've been on iTunes since day one, but the only difference I can think of is that episode 6 was the first episode that I aired that was exclusively now also on WrestlePROOnline.com/listen. So the website, the WrestlePro website, has traffic obviously every day via ticket sales or promotions or whatever have you. Like, there's a lot of people on those sites, so therefore they, you know, and Ryback and Pat on Conversation with the Big Guy are right next to me as far as like click to listen. So if there people are bored and they want to listen to, instead of Pat's hour and a half, you want to tack on another hour, then you have my podcast. So for that, thank you. I'm making waves and this is awesome. I think it's a really good idea to incorporate new formats as far as, you know, interviews and conversations with people. I think that would make for good radio. It would give everybody, including all the fans and even me, a little insight to get to know the wrestler or the personality or whoever I bring on first. And going forward, I don't know if I'm going to have like the sit downs like I used to have on Thursday Night Destruction. I used to have guys come over the house, but I was also hurt and unemployed. So it was a lot easier to have people come over at 12, 1 in the afternoon when I wasn't doing anything. I mean, yes, am I recording now at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Absolutely. So if they want to come by, sure, that'll be great. But there might be a time where I can record it like an interview, like as if I was a journalist. Because you know what I see a lot of, and this is just a tribute to the technology that's going on like in this world. When I watch like press conferences real quick from the Cowboys or Yankees or any of my teams, and you got guys interviewing people, they're literally holding up their cell phones. And the cell phones are so good and so equipped now that they can hold like a really good audio, a good quality audio file. So I might just literally stick my phone in people's faces and see what I can get, you know, see what I can get. But I know I told you guys I would try to get some sound from this past weekend, but when I say that it was a madhouse, it simply was a madhouse. There was always something to do or get done or whatever the case may be. I was just busy. I was very busy and I didn't want to bother anybody because a lot of these guys were stepping up to the plate for some big, big matches. And as I said, I'll get back into that in a couple minutes. But again, thank you so much for all the downloads and listens and all this stuff. I'm getting like great feedback from people in London. I got an email the other day from a guy from Panama City, Panama. I couldn't even tell you where that is. Then that's probably really shitty on my part. I don't even want to guess because I'm going to say something totally outlandish. I'm like, this guy's a moron. But Panama City, like, I mean, it's pretty badass. So this thing is getting out there and I really, really appreciate it. You know, I got Dave LaGreca of Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, who is now going 5 days a week for Sirius Busted Open, which is awesome. And their show is like completely just awesome. I've always liked it. I've sat in studio plenty of times during the production of that show. It's definitely a cool thing. he actually reached out to me yesterday saying, you know, so happy that you're killing it. And he's a fan of my work. And that says a lot, man. He was one of my sports broadcasting teachers back in 2007 or 2006. Yeah, 2006 into 2007. Yeah, like that's the guy that started it off. And here's a news flash, and here's a funny tidbit. Dave LaGreca, who is a wrestling fanatic, I mean, he's wrestling above all else. When me and a man named Phil Devine, which Phil, you can find him on in Vegas, who covering the MMA, so he's doing big things too. When me and Phil wanted to do our radio final, like I guess to show him that, you know, we can work the radio waves and all this other shit, and do our final exam for that school, we said we wanted to talk about wrestling. And Dave LaGreca, I don't know the verbiage verbatim because I forget, but like it was something along the lines of, you can't talk about wrestling. Nobody talks about wrestling on the radio. It's not a sport. So just like, let's cover sports. And here we are 10 years later, and this guy's on 5 days a week talking wrestling. So I find that pretty funny and ironic. And he does too, because we always talk about it. But thank you for him. I you know what? It's to the point now where I don't think there's any more, based on the recent success and the recent, like I'm hitting a stride here. Like, I don't think there's any more far-fetched ideas for me. And it's a positive way of thinking, of course. And I've been trying to think as positive, which, you know, I'll get into some of my negative garbage that has been occurring. However, when you think positively, like, things happen. And that's what's been happening. I've been doing the broadcast, you know, for WrestlePro. And it's just a massive success. And then you got Battle Club Pro, which is giving me creativity. You know, creative control, like, hey, like a little input, like, what would you think would be good here? Or I politic for a couple guys, like my friends, I say, these guys can go, these guys need to be booked. Like, and he listens to my opinion. So, like, there's a lot of shit going on. And then the other day, I'm watching, Elimination Chamber, and I switch it on, and it's the pre-show, and I never watch these pre-shows, because I think there's like, okay, how do you have a pre-show for fake fighting? Like, I just, all right, whatever. Previewing the matches, like, who do you want to win? Who do you think's going to win? And it's like kind of like, for me, it's kind of corny, but it's still something that's a part of the WWE Network. So you're on the WWE Network, and there I see my former broadcast partner, former fellow employee, Sam Roberts. And Sam Roberts is doing his thing, and he's giving us predictions, and he's killing it. He's killing it. And I told my wife, who's reluctantly watching this shit with me, I said, you know, she was on her phone at the time, and I was like, look, it's my buddy. And she looks and she sees Sam Roberts. She's like, oh my God, it's Sam Roberts. And I'm like, yeah, he's doing the pre-show. She's like, okay, you can do this. Like, you, why not you? Why can't you be on the pre-show? Why can't you be doing these spots? Why don't you go back on Busted Open? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, like, my wife, who's she supported wrestling for a little while. I mean, I met her. I mean, if you want a quick story, it is Valentine's Day. My first singles match ever was on December 7th, 2012. I used to have a big following, man. Like, I used to have all my friends come and see me. So one of my friends brought two of her girlfriends, and she just so happened to be one of the girlfriends. She saw me wrestle on that day. Went to the after party, said nothing to me. She might have waved, and I just brushed it off, like, I don't need that. You know, I was just another fan. I don't need that. You know, 4 months in, I'm just thinking I'm more over than anybody. And so it took for like a couple months, and then we became friends on Facebook, and I don't remember that night. I really don't remember. It could have been one of those drunk nights where I was just like on an adding spree or just being creepy man USA. Like, I have no idea. But I remember it was March 13th, 2013, I reached out to her and I said, I don't know who you are, but you're fucking adorable. And I need to know who you are. Like, and how did we become friends? Turns out she lived in my same town. And I was like, this is nuts. And then fast forward and here we are. But yeah, so she supported it a lot earlier. And then I got hurt, and it was hard for my parents and my brother and my wife, or, you know, girlfriend at the time, to get behind me again, because they were just concerned. They were concerned. Like, I missed work. I lost the job over this, over tearing an ACL. I lost a job, a full-time job with benefits. I lost it because I was going to be out for too long. So it was hard for them to get behind me again. Where was I going with this? So anyway, yeah, so the wife's reluctantly watching this, but then she's like, why not you? Why can't you do this? You're next. And I got a comment on Facebook. I guess somebody was, I don't really follow all these. I don't follow everybody's wrestling posts as far as like the pre-show, but like somebody was like, oh, I'm watching Sam Roberts. And then I forget who it was, and I apologize for this because it really did make my night. The next line was, Dave Sturcio, you're next. And I'm like, wow, man, do people actually think I'm good at this? Like, this is actually very, very overwhelming. And for me, now you got the 33,000 downloads, hits, whatever, you know, the case. Now I'm like, oh, man, I got to step my fucking game up. Like, there's no way I can just sit back now. Like, I have to strike right now. And it's something I have brainstormed. And I must have vented to her in length yesterday about all my ideas. Everything I had in my head, I just emptied out. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what's to stop me from running my own promotion? There's nothing stopping me. I know people now. Why don't I do that? And I'm like, the money, the hassle, like this, that, and the other. What about editing everybody's stuff? All right, learn editing. There's just so much shit to do in sports and entertainment. There's always a position for people. There always is. And I think that if you put the work in, which I've been doing, you know, things could pay off. So there's nothing stopping me from being the next voice. Who knows? I have no idea. I can't predict the future. But what I can say is that I'm going to keep busting my ass as hard as I possibly can. That's all, you know, mental and verbal. Now, as far as the physical is concerned, before I get into the actual fallout of the weekend, I saw, and this is me being a diva, but I saw a couple pictures from Brooklyn surface, and angles are everything. Any girl or any guy that like thinks they look halfway decent knows that the wrong angle could ruin a lot of shit. And I got a couple pictures taken of me from like a low angle looking up at me, and I looked like a fucking disaster. And I'm like, oh my God. So like I would tell one of my colleagues this, and they didn't disagree. Oh, maybe it was the shirt you were wearing. I'm like, whoa, I really wanted you to say, you're out of your mind, dude. You look fine. And I expressed this to a lot of my friends. I was like, what? Did I do something wrong? Like, I've been busting my ass as hard as possible at the gym. And then like, I see another couple pictures that surface from Friday, and I'm in all black. And I'm like, oh, I don't look so bad. You know, so I guess it really is the angles and stuff. But there's no reason why I shouldn't try and keep trying to be in the best shape of my life. And I'm going to keep going as hard as I could possibly go, which I think it broke me down. If you can hear it in my voice, you know, besides my voice being lost over the weekend, I think I'm getting sick. It sucks because it's like a flu sick and I could feel it. So I don't know if I killed myself too much yesterday at the gym, which is very possible. I did chest. I did a lot of cardio. I did burpees for the first time in fucking 3 years. Ryback's a big, you know, burpees guy. I did like 10 or 11. And I'm like, nope, not anymore. Like, I'm done, man. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, how can I not do more than 10? These guys are doing 150. You know, Bowen's doing 100. I mean, yeah, these guys are all freaks. But like, at the same time, it's like, all right, dude, you're an athlete. You played sports. You were a wrestler. Like, don't fall out of the game too much, too fast. But, yeah, so WrestlePro weekend, fantastic. Top to bottom, start to finish. We ran against NXT on Friday night. We were at the Starland Ballroom in Sayreville, New Jersey. And NXT was in Asbury Park, which is about 15, 20 minutes down the road. The fact that we had like standing room only first night against NXT, and I saw photos from NXT. There was plenty of empty seats, and I'm also seeing reports from NXT saying that there was just like a B squad, and they didn't please the crowd. But the people that are at Starland Ballroom that night, they had a night of wrestling, like just straight up amazing, amazing wrestling. Starting, you know, as I said, won't go down the whole card, but the venue itself, I've never stepped foot in this venue. All of a sudden, you know, you got these locker rooms. It's not really a locker room. It was just like a backstage kitchen area. But like then on top of that, if you go up the stairs, there was like lounges and shit for the guys. Like guys were chilling on a couch all night, like just watching the show from above, which was kind of crazy. Like, you really got that feel, like, oh, this is what it feels like to be treated like a fucking star, you know? And it was actually really cool. The venue was amazing. Where we set up commentary was fantastic. It was right on top of the action. The seats were great. A little different. It was, you know, you had your bleacher seating. You had, like, your floor seating. You also had, like, table seating, like, way in the back. Like, it was kind of weird. It was different. But the matches were just, oh, my God, start to finish. Like, you know, seeing some of my homegrown guys, like, kill it out there. Like, Payne went against Delroy, and they had a great match. Funny. Joey Janela made his debut, and I'm happy to announce that, like, not announced, but, like, I saw him for the first time in years. We shook hands. We talked. We you know, cut the shit a little bit. And it was kind of like, okay, cool. We're past this now, you know? And it really made me feel good because I've been kind of upset about it for quite some time. Joey Janela went against, Matt McIntosh and Alex Reynolds. Fantastic match, but if anybody was there, and I really hope you caught this, when Joey got into the ring, he did the Starman march, like the march in place thing. I popped. I was like, and I'm on commentary, so I'm just like, holy shit, like that was fucking great, and I was really excited about it. So they killed it. The scarier parts of the show, Pat and Kevin were to go against Moff and a partner of his choice. He chose who everybody thought he was going to choose. He didn't, and all of a sudden, Homicide comes out, and I haven't seen Homicide in like 2 years. This dude, the way he wrestles, and I understand it's a business, and you try, you know, it's a work, and you try to protect guys. It literally looks like, and he's good at this, it looks like he's trying to hurt you. Like, every weapon that you could possibly grab, they grab. And the match was just brutal. Like, just watching my trainer and one of my good friends get their asses kicked, it did not look like a staged fight whatsoever. I'm telling you right now, Moff and Homicide brought it, and it was just, it was hard to watch. And towards the end, you know, a guy the size of Moff comes out in the hood, takes off the hood, it's Monster Mac. And I'm like, mother, and obviously I knew, but like, holy hell, like, the Hit Squad is now in WrestlePro, and they took over. Like, they ransacked the whole place. They beat the shit out of Pat and Kevin. They came over to the commentaries table. Now, I thought, like, okay, they're just going to kind of mean mug us and walk right by. No, they took David Adams' jacket. They ran his pockets. They took my cell phone. They took Eddie's hat. Like, it was just mayhem. Like, wait, what just happened here? Like, we got ourselves taken over. And I'm like, this is a joke. Like, I can't believe this actually happened. And you got Homicide looking at my phone and like mockingly putting it down his pants and shit. I'm like, that's my fucking cell phone, man. Like, enough. But again, it made for amazing, amazing cinema. And it made for an amazing moment for all of us. And I can't thank him enough for that. You know, the main event, Mary Bakara versus Cody Rhodes versus Leo Rush, killed it. Absolutely friggin' killed it. I mean, Mary Bakara, month after month, every time I see this guy, he's better. He's in better shape. His moves are better. He's just looking like the purest athlete that we have at WrestlePro. And he brought it, man. Cody Rhodes, let's not call us, you know, Cody Rhodes wanted to fight Leo Rush, okay? And that's why we had these vignettes saying, you know, Mario belongs. Because he does, man. He really does. Like, I think Leo Rush might have been on that list. I'm not really sure. I might be completely off. But, like, even with Cody, like, he's a professional. He's a pro's pro. He's like, let's do a triple threat. Here's the triple threat. Boom. And they blew the roof off the place. And then, on top of all else, Joey Ryan makes a surprise appearance. Who, you know, unannounced. Zero promotion for him whatsoever. He comes, starts shit with Cody, then takes Brandi Rhodes to the back, and then she comes back with a lollipop in her mouth. Like, it was fun cinema, fun entertainment. It was a lot of people just enjoying themselves. Shout out to the filters on Snapchat, which were fantastic. I think they were very cool and gave the fans a chance to kind of, like, show that they were there. You know, I just had a great day at Starland. I got there a little late because of work, but other than that, like, I was there, and I was enjoying it. I got to work with Ryback again during the signings, you know, just kind of collecting the money and greeting fans and stuff. and talking about his supplements to him and whatnot. And I just re-upped on that. I'm getting more of the big guy test booster. I ran out of that, did a month's worth. It definitely changed me. I don't give a shit what anybody says. There's a lot of fucking rejects over on Twitter saying, you know, he's feeding you plants and whatever, and none of that stuff will help your testosterone. Well, that couldn't be more, you know, far from the truth. And it rubbed Ryback the wrong way. He, like, let him have it on Twitter. He's a feed me moron, as Ryback would say. But, like, I'm telling you right now, those products are legit. Probably the best pre-workout I've ever had, and I'm not just saying that. I'm literally telling you, like, it. You tingle and you feel it, and there's no, like, at the end of your workout, you feel kind of like, eh. You're like, oh, all right, it's over. You go the entire time. And, yeah, so Friday night was amazing. So then, you know, I get home at, like 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get home. And I know that I got to get up the next day. So then, you know, the next morning happens. I get in the shower. I pack my bag again. And I'm out the door again. And now I'm on the road again, going to Brooklyn. And for the first time, and maybe WWE guys can contribute to this, but for the first time, I gave it the whole, I felt like, oh, I'm on the road. You know, I was on the road last night. Now I'm back on the road again the next day. You know, the only difference is I didn't sleep in a hotel. You know, it was actually really cool and a really cool feeling to do that. I got that on the road feel, and it was different. It was definitely something, I don't know if I can get used to it, but it was something that I definitely appreciated. That, like, look at WrestlePro, look at the strides we made. Like, we're making towns on a weekend, a Friday and a Saturday. You know what I mean? That says something, I think. Personally, I think that says something for a company that they can sell out. I mean, me and Kevin have talked about this back and forth, and the term sellout is overused when it comes to indie wrestling, because there's no such thing as a sellout in indie wrestling, if you think about it. Unless you literally, you know, you're at the front door and you say, listen, we're at max capacity, you can't come in. We've done that once, a few years back in Edison. But whatchamacallit. So Brooklyn, I worked with Jake the Snake, and funny dude, man. I mean, he's a little pissed off. He's a lot of pissed off. He's got his own shirts for sale, right? And he's like, I got to make a buck, you know? Vince is screwing me over. And I'm like, oh, how is he screwing you over? He's like, you know how much I get for every shirt they sell on shop.com? I said, I don't know, $3, $4, what? He goes, 8 fucking cents. I'm like, wait, what? 8 cents? Like, wait, what? That's crazy. I don't know if he's just blowing smoke on my ass or if that's the truth for legends. And they're just making money hand over fist over their t-shirts. And they're giving these guys 8 cents. That means you would have to sell 10 shirts to make a dollar. Like, that's rough. After taxes, maybe 12 shirts to make a dollar. So, like I said, don't know if that's all true or not, but it made for some entertaining conversation with the guy. A lot of fans actually approached me in Brooklyn. Like, I would say like 4 or 5 of them while I was in the ring with Jake. They would scream down to me or up at me because I was in the ring. And a lot of them asked me if I was going to come back or when are you coming back to the ring, Dave? You know, when are you going to wrestle again? We miss your wrestling. In my head, I'm like, what match did I have in my 4.5 years? What match did I have to make them say, I need to see that guy again? Like, I always thought I brought it as far as intensity and selling and doing my job, whatever was asked of me. I was just never the most, like, agile. I jumped off the top rope once in 5 years. So it's like, what do you guys miss so much? And I'm like, nah, probably not. I'm not sure. But then it got me thinking. And this isn't like a teaser or anything like that. It's just me thinking out loud that maybe I didn't go out the way I wanted to go out. You know, there's no like match I want or things, something that I'm craving or as Rocky said, there's stuff left in the basement. There always is. There's that fighting and burning desire to entertain people and to get my face out there again as a professional wrestler, as opposed to a professional commentator or, you know, color commentary or whatever. There's always going to be that little thing, you know, like, and there's always going to be that itch. And there was a time right before the Jake the Snake meet and greet, I was standing in the ring alone as fans were filing in, and I ran the ropes for like a minute. I was probably 10 seconds, but like a couple laps around the ring, like proving it to myself that, like, dude, I miss this shit. And I do. Don't get me wrong. I totally miss it. But I think I finally found my place in pro wrestling, and that's behind the commentary table. And Brooklyn show, top to bottom, I lost my voice, like, midway through because it was so amazing. I watched Dan Moff kill one of my friends, Craven Varro. if I thought Dan Moff caused utter chaos the night before, he did it again, if not more so over. I watched, again, super proud of Chris Payne. You know, he brought it against Mario Bacara. Those guys put on a hell of a show. We saw a flying hot dog again. And I love Starks to death, and I think he's phenomenal. And I think he's a good dude. Is that the next big thing for WrestlePro, this hot dog mania? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But the fans seem to really, really like him and embrace him. It was just great. And I got to see my old tag team partner, the Big O. I got to meet Mike Verna, who's also, you know, halfway responsible for me and my gig this week, which I'll get more into. Going back to Brooklyn. And, you know, I got to see Big O. I got to see Big O's parents. Like, we were close. Like, when this tag team thing started, like, we really became brothers and just motivated each other and just all sorts of shit. So he was really an awesome dude to pick the brain of as far as, like, lifting-wise. I mean, you've seen the guy. He's a friggin' ox. So, yeah, Mega Muscle went against the Heavenly Bodies, in which I thought was one of the top two matches of the night, which, to, I guess, the disagreement of a couple marks on doing their own Mom's Basement review, said it wasn't any good, which I don't know what they're watching. The only thing I could say negative about that match is that sometimes that Big O kind of rushes because his adrenaline is so freaking high that he's always go, so sometimes things might look like they can get messed up, but you're working with two of the best professionals we have in Mark and Justin Carino, and those guys are going to bring it. So, and Mike Verna, holy shit. I never watched that guy live until last night. No offense to him, just never watched. I just never saw one of his matches. So when I did see it, wow. I mean, he blew me away. I mean, he's awesome. So that tag team match was incredible. Obviously, the title match was something very special. Bobby Wayward was the champion going in. I did a segment with him in the ring on Friday night, and then I did a segment with Anthony Bowens on Saturday night, which is really, really, really rewarding to me. I think that all my work is paying off by Kevin saying that he wants in-ring interviews done mid-show. Sort of like, you know, your episode of Raw or whatever, just like our own episodes, and he's relying on me to deliver some kind of decent interview, and I hope I'm doing a good job with that. And I definitely dig it, and I'm loving it. Every time I get a chance to get in the ring with those guys, you know, I feel honored because those guys are so good and so naturally talented. And I just know deep down in my core that a guy like Bobby Wayward and a guy like Anthony Bowens are going to make it big in the professional wrestling industry, if not already feel like they've made it big because of the spotlight that's on them right now. So it's always an honor to get in there with them. So yeah, that match in itself was amazing. You know, Bobby obviously threw everything at him. He's got this new thing called job security. Couple students that are, you know, promoted up to our level that were responsible enough to get on our level and perform. And they did. They did their job. They came out there. They tried to mess with Bowens. Bowens lit them all up. Chris Avery Kuehling comes down for the save. And by accident, via just total, just didn't see it coming. He takes Wayward's head off, and then Bowens hits the Bowens boom, which according to Money Morales, he heard me on commentary from across the way. That's how loud I yelled, "Here comes the boom." And Anthony Bowens is your first ever two-time WrestlePro champion. So just think about it for a second. The WrestlePro, you know, WrestlePro's been around for, it'll be a year in March. We've had three champions, Matt McIntosh, Anthony Bowens, and Bobby Wayward. That's saying something. That's saying that Pat has the confidence in our youth, really, if you think about it. Like, we don't have to put the belt on a name. We don't have to do that because we have guys that have established themselves and have done enough to carry a title. Sometimes people say title is just a prop, and in reality, I guess it is. But at the same time, it's confidence. And letting Bobby reign with the title for a couple months and just his arrogance and cockiness was just so good and so spot on. So now, and you got to wonder, like, is that feud over? I'm going to say no. Not because I know anything in specific. I just know that, you know, now what Wayward gets a rematch, right? I mean, you would have to think. So, anyway, the weekend itself was incredible. It drained the hell out of me. And I'm just a commentator. So, anybody who had two matches in this weekend and then did stuff on Sunday, because Sunday I was a lump on a log. I couldn't even get to this party that I was supposed to go to. Which, first of all, I think that gender reveal parties are the biggest waste of friggin' time in my life. Like, and it's not offense to anybody who's done it or even my wife's friend who just did it. I just feel like, okay, you have a baby shower, the baby's born. Like, how many friggin' parties do you need for this kid? Like, the kid doesn't even know. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? What do you want? The free bottles of wine? Like, what exactly are you trying to accomplish? Just Facebook Live the damn thing, you know, Facebook Live with your parents around and have that moment with them. You don't have to have it with 20 fucking people in your apartment who want to see which color balloons come out of a box or which color cake or which, you know, was a new one? Super Soakers. I seen somebody spray out pink coloring, and I'm like, wow, that's really original, but really fucking pointless. But anyway, let me take my break now. Sip on the old Zevia, get my notes together. When we come back, obviously, I will talk more. I guess we could preview a little bit of WrestlePro Orlando's right around the corner. Questions that I went onto website. Didn't get many, which is fine. I did have one, so I want to definitely touch on that. We'll talk about the Elimination Chamber, talk about Raw, and we'll touch on everything else that I planned on touching on. All right, so I will be right back.
Biggest boss and I've been in Trillis. I'm a bigger problem when I click with Skrillex. Murder on my mind, it's time to pray to God. My revolver's not religious, the revolution's born. You wanna know my name, then go and tell us all. You wanna know my gang, Suicide Squad. Pistol on my waist, I might make a mistake. Dead shot, head shot, oh my God, am I crazy?
And here we go.
Alright, we're back. Little Ricky Rouse, love Rick Ross, and little Joker at the end there, Heath Ledger, R.I.P. bro. Okay, so the Elimination Chamber. First thing I can't stand people complaining. All they do is complain. It's so disturbing to me. Like, I don't understand what's so wrong with so many things. Like, people actually gave a shit, enough of a shit, to get upset about the new Elimination Chamber structure, but there's padding there. Oh, okay. How about let's keep our fucking performers safe? How about that? Instead of saying, oh, but I wanted blood and guts and cuts and bruises and this and that and the other. How about that's not what this is all about? Like, I know that's what you want to see, but guess what? We're in a new era, man. Like, when are you going to get that through your head that we're in a different era now, in a different time where guys aren't going to get busted up? And we're going to protect him as much as we can. And if, for guy's sakes, jumping off a 14-foot high, whatever, that pod or whatever, and coming crashing down to the mat, guess what? That hurts, okay? Guess what? Jumping down onto a padded mat over top of the steel, that hurts too. Getting thrown through a pod, I don't care what it is, plexiglass, styrofoam, it don't matter. You're getting thrown through something. That hurts. So stop complaining. I think the end result was cool. I think it was well deserved. I've been calling for Bray Wyatt to win the championship for a long time, and I think he's, you know, one of the hardest workers, the best on the mic. I think his in-ring work is great, despite some people what they might say. But look at who's champions now. I mean, Bray Wyatt and Kevin Owens, they're not your Hulk Hogan's, you know what I mean? They're not even your John Cena's. You know, these guys are, you know, they started where they started, and now they're here. That sounded bad. But anyway, stop complaining. Now you got Randy Orton Bray for WrestleMania, possibly. I mean, you got 6 weeks to go. Anything can happen, and maybe they interject Cena in there, which I'm sure will delight so many people on Facebook land or social media or just people with irrelevant opinions. You just got to start enjoying it, man. You really do. Like, because if you keep complaining about something, guess what? Guess what? Here's the biggest newsflash, and you might want to sit down for this. They're not going to change their opinions. They're not going to change their ways. They're not going to change their storylines because you don't like it. So why don't you just start embracing everything you see? The only thing I could say I was a little distraught about was last night, Monday Night Raw, them breaking up Jericho. I wasn't ready for it yet. I think they were something completely money. I think you kind of felt that it was going to happen when Jericho got real a little bit. Like, you reinvented me. You made me feel young again. You made me, you know, this is the best of my career that I've had here. Because all that's true. All his mic work and all his little, I don't know why I'm burping all of a sudden. All his little quips, like, you're going to get it or the list or whatever the case may be. This is something that I was really, as a fan, looking in, like, this is some of his best shit ever. So, like, to break him up, yes, does that set up a WrestleMania match? Absolutely. Is it for a title? We won't know. Until, you know, him and Owens and Goldberg are done. Which is kind of crazy if you think about it. Like, are they really willing to put the strap on Goldberg to go against Lesnar for the belt? I said this last week. I'm okay with that. A lot of fans are like, well, they're part-time. Okay, great. But it's going to happen. Like, it's going to sell. That's the thing. They're not worried about your opinions. They're not worried about your butthurt feelings because, you know, you just don't agree with what they're doing. That shit will sell. A championship title match between Bill Goldberg and Brock Lesnar will sell. And if you don't believe it, then just watch the pay-per-view like you will anyway. You'll bitch about it, but it'll happen. Ugh, you people. I don't understand. But anyway, I did have one question from Mike Malario, a good buddy of mine now who's supported me and who brought out the Dave's Destruction Section signs on Friday night, which was fantastic, made my night. He did question something that happened during the event. Rikishi went against, he teamed up with the Beach Bums, and they took on all the Creative Pro New York guys. Smart Mark Sterling, Massage Envy, and Johnny Clash, who was retired for the third time over the weekend. Fourth time, maybe. I don't even know. I've lost count. But I guess Rikishi, first of all, it was David Adams' fault for giving him a mic. Okay? Because it wasn't part of the script, per se, to have Rikishi cut a promo after the match. But when a legend asks for a mic, excuse me, you give it to him. And there's just nothing, you know, there's no ill will. You just, okay, sir, here, say what you have to say. Which more or less is going to be along the lines of, I really had a good time tonight. There's a lot of hungry guys in that back locker room, which is exactly what he said. But then he started, giving out shout-outs to, like, pretty much the whole Samoan dynasty. And Mike's question was, my reaction, I guess, to when he got to Roman Reigns, the place exploded in boos. Do I find it disrespectful? Now, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I just talked to you about the complainers and everybody's opinion on how they think. Oh, excuse me, readjusting the leg here. They think that it's, you know, it's disrespectful. I guess Mike thought it was disrespectful and tasteless to boo Rikishi severely. I'm talking, they rained on him like it was, and no pun, but like. When he said Superfly, crazy reaction. He saw talked about this Wild Samoa's going nuts. They even cheered for the Usos. But when they got to Reigns, they just boo. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm sitting right there. And I'm like, I smile because I'm just like, again, I'm like, these fucking people. You know, like, son of a bitch. Do I find it disrespectful? No, they're allowed to do whatever they want. But at the same time, it's just like, guy's trying to go down his family lineage. And then you just totally off one of them. Rikishi kind of made headway, headlines over the weekend, because after he did an awesome performance for us, he was booked on another show. And one thing I did talk about with a couple of my colleagues, like, the last thing you want to do is talk shit about a Samoan. I feel like that family runs deep, and I feel like you got to tread lightly, because I feel like they'll find you and they'll drag you out of your fucking car or your house. So you just might want to be careful. And on top of that, like, yes, there was an article going around about how he refused to wrestle, but if you're in the business 2 years or less, don't fucking share the article. Just don't. It's just tasteless. Like, you're creating this image that you know all, or that you know some, and you don't know shit. Okay? Even me, being around for 5 years, I still don't know things. Okay? I don't know all, and I'm never going to admit to saying I know all. My opinion is the only one that matters. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's not the case, man. Like, I don't know certain things. So if I don't know the topic, I won't talk about the topic. That's like when people get political. I can't really talk too much about politics. The only thing I could stand behind is that I was anti-Hillary for the reason, not all of her reasons. I'm sure she has some great shit. For the reason of her just leaving our troops and, you know, letting people die. And I just, for me, I'm a big supporter of our troops and our policemen and all that shit. And if that makes me unpopular to some, I don't really care. I'm allowed to, you know, say my opinion. It's fine. But, yeah, so, like, that's why you avoid topics that you're just not 1,000% in the know. That's like whenever I do talk about wrestling, like I made a status last night that Jericho and Owens reminded me of This Is Your Life with Foley and The Rock. Like, it was just one of those nostalgia things. Like, I knew that because I grew up watching that shit. So, I don't know. A lot of complaints about certain things. But I think people just need to take a step back, take a breath, and just enjoy this shit for what it is. Because professional wrestling is the greatest thing on the planet as far as a form of entertainment. It's fantastic. I've always loved it. And because of that, you know, because of me being open-minded and hardworking, I have a gig this Friday night in Brooklyn. I'll shoot there right after school. It's Five Borough Wrestling. I'm excited. I'm going to be calling the action next to Peter Rosado, who's been linked to Bronx Championship Wrestling, BCW, I want to say, and Bree Championship. I'm not really sure of that name. I forget. But he's linked to a lot of stuff going on in New York. I think New York might be where it's at. And I know for a fact that WrestlePro just added another Brooklyn date because of the high demand and just the people that are just demanding WrestlePro. And that's amazing. And this is the kind of shit that we need, the momentum that we need to go into to Orlando. I have a really good feeling that we can really do some good things down there. And I'm really excited to get down there. Not so much for the parties and all this other shit, but just being around fans and being around my guys that travel down there and just sharing a suite and just having a good time. And just, it's going to be one of those things where I'll remember it for the rest of my life. And I know that for a fact. So anybody that's down there that week, come find us, come party with us, come hang out with us. It's going to be a fantastic time. I want to thank you guys again, time and time again, for the subscriptions, for the downloads. Keep leaving the 5-star rating reviews. I mean, if you want to leave another review, that's fine too. But it would really help. It helps me promote the product. It helps me come up in searches when people want to search for wrestling podcasts or even sports podcasts, because I cover a little bit of everything. As I'm talking to you right now, the Yankees have opened up spring training. The pitchers and catchers have reported. I'm excited about it. We'll get more into that as it goes on, because spring training is very long and drawn out. So we'll get more into that as the weeks go on. But yeah, I guess this is more wrestling heavy than anything else for this week. But there was a lot to cover, you know. And going forward, there's going to be a lot of cool shit happening. I will still embrace every opportunity that I get. I'm not trying, as I said, I'm not whoring myself out there. I'm not like just saying, hey, XWPC4, I want to work for you too. Like, I'm choosing my battles. And I guess sometimes it sounds corny, but I base my predictions on a promotion based on, like, their flyer. I don't know if that's weird. Like, if you have a good put-together flyer with, like, promotions and social medias, and that just means you give a shit. So that's why I want to work for you. There's too many people that still make their flyers with, like, Microsoft Paint, and it just looks like total hell. So, like, those are the companies I'm like, oh, my God. You know, even the companies I used to make fun of, not make fun of, but just not stand behind, are all of a sudden, you know, stepping their game up with flyers and promotion and fans. And I want to make sure, and I want to make one thing clear as I end this podcast. I will never knock a fan for going to a different show other than WrestlePro. Do I want every single fan around in the area to go to the show that I'm at? Yes. And if you don't, and you work for a company, and you don't want every fan at your show, then there's something wrong with you. You shouldn't be like, well, you know, let's spread the wealth. Like, no, you have to be in it for yourself on a day that it's big for you. So if I wanted everybody and every fan that I had for WrestlePro to be there at Starland Ballroom on Friday night, and you decided to go to a different show, am I going to be butthurt, like angry? No. Do I want you at our show? Yes. So for anybody who's saying that, like, I'm narrow-minded, or like, I just, like, there are other shows, you know, like, I know this. There's 54,000 independent wrestling corporations and federations, and I don't like federation. I don't like that word anymore. I just think that it's kind of, I don't know, played out. I don't even say played out a lot. But anyway, I don't disrespect you for going to a different show. I just want you at mine. I want you at the one I'm at because I want to see your pretty fucking mug. All right? That's the bottom line. Yeah, that's really it. I went on a little bit of a rant there. But, yeah, I mean, next week, I mean, like I said, I'll give you a little fallout of my experience at Five Borough Wrestling. It's now a downtime in sports where now you have to focus on the Rangers and the Knicks drama, which I can't even cover that because I think it's a joke. I think the whole Charles Oakley thing is just a complete mess. It got us press, bad, bad press. Like, not good press at all. But, yeah, there'd be plenty more topics coming up. And as I said, I'm going to try to get some guests on here. A lot of you guys recommended I get Dan Moff. Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that right this second. A couple of you guys said Matt McIntosh, which I agree with. Me and him always have good conversation. We can catch you up to speed on his career. I'll be in negotiations with a lot of guys, and we'll get things done. But again, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys have a great week, a great weekend. Come check out Five Borough Wrestling over in Brooklyn if you're around. If not, no big deal. And check out all the surrounding podcasts, the Shining Wizards podcast. I am on the Shining Wizards Network. Conversation with the Big Guy with Ryback and Pat Buck. They're on iTunes. You can also find them on WrestlePROOnline.com. You can see all the tickets and information on WrestlePROOnline.com. So check all that out. Follow me on all my social media accounts. Dave Destruction 2 on Snapchat. Instagram is Dave Destruction. Twitter, Dave Sturch, which is picking up some noise. I'm getting retweets from some pretty big names, so it kind of helps out. And on my Facebook, facebook.com/destruction101 to find the website and the podcast and my pretty face. All right, so thank you guys again for listening, and I hope you have a great weekend. And yeah, I'll see you next week.
Post game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.